So I hope it don't mess up tonight. I studying today, and I'm really going to have to hurry to get through the end of this chapter. So we're just going to jump right into it tonight. Because there's still a lot in here, and we could go back and study it again next week, and there's just enough there. There's a lot of things we could look at and take more time in, but we'll try to finish up tonight. But last night, we started in verse number 15. And verse number 15 through verse number 17, four insatiable things. Things that, as it says there in verse number 15, there are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not it is enough. So these things are never satisfied. And we talked about the grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not it is enough. We tied in verse number 17 with the book of Revelation. This last generation, Revelation chapter 19, talks about the fowls of the air coming and feasting upon the carcasses at the Battle of Armageddon. So this chapter 30 is all tied in together and dealing with one thing. We looked quickly at the next four things, four inscrutable things, and that's mysteries, things that are hard to understand. In verse number 18, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. So he didn't understand some of these things. And the example, he gives four things, the eagle, the serpent, the ship, and the way of a man with a maid. And in verse 20, he said, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. And so that's how this last generation, I can't understand some of the things people do and say and the way they act and claim to know the Lord, but act so contrary to that. So we looked at those two things last night, and we've also spent a little bit of time about each night talking about the numbers in this chapter. There's a lot of numbers that are mentioned, and it's just a unique chapter in the book of Proverbs and in the whole Bible. Some other interesting things I wanted to mention. There are nine verses that have creatures, animals, insects in them. And they are verses 15, 17, 19. I'll go through in a minute and list what they are. Verse 25, 26, 27, 28, verse 30 and 31 all have creatures mentioned in it. So nine verses have animals or creatures. And there are 11 different creatures that are mentioned. The horse leech in verse 15, ravens and eagles in verse 17, verse 19, the eagle and the serpent are mentioned. Verse 25 is about the ants. And then verse 26, the conies. Verse 27, the locusts. Verse 28, the spider. That's the only place you find a spider in the Bible. The lion in verse 30, and the greyhound and a he-goat in verse number 31. So there's nine verses that have 11 different creatures in them. And I thought that was interesting. Last summer we studied Isaiah 9 verses 10 and 11. And what you have over there, we don't have time to go over there and look at that. But what you have in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 10 and verse 11, you have a generation that begins to be judged by God. And when God begins to judge them, they do not recognize that as being the hand of God judging them. And so instead of repenting and getting right with God and saying, you know, we need to examine our ways, they just say there's an attack from an enemy that comes, and they say, we will build. We'll just build back better. We'll build back stronger. And so God begins to judge them, but nobody recognizes it as the judgment of God, and they get this attitude, well, we'll just remodel and build back. And that's sort of the attitude of our country. If you notice in the past, well, since 9/11, anything that happens, nobody from our leadership says, we need to, you know, we're probably experiencing this because we're so wicked, but nobody says that. They come out. They say, we'll come back stronger. We'll build better. We'll build back. We'll come back. Well, that's a evidence of being under the judgment of God when it comes and we don't recognize it. But we just sort of reinforce against the Lord. And so when you find 9/11 in the Bible, it's always associated with the judgment of God. Whether it's here, there's 9 and 11, or Isaiah 9, 10 and 11. There's also Daniel 9:11 and Ezekiel 9:11, which talks about judgment during the tribulation. There is Revelation chapter 9, verse number 11. It says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And I was reading over there in Isaiah chapter 9 today, not Isaiah, Revelation chapter 9, and about half or more of these creatures that are mentioned in Proverbs chapter 30 are also mentioned in Isaiah chapter 9, the horse, the lion, the serpent, and there's a couple other, I didn't write it down, but just there's a lot of interesting things in the Bible, and they're not there by coincidence or accident. They're there on purpose. And Proverbs chapter 30 is talking about two generations. There's the Philadelphian generation. There's the Laodicean generation. Both these are existing in the last days. And you also have two kings in Proverbs chapter number 30. There's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there's also the Antichrist. And so if this is talking about the last generation, and it is, well, you're going to see these two generations, and you're going to see these two kingdoms warring against each other. And we'll see the two kingdoms tonight. But going on in our list of four things is verses 21 through 23. And here is four intolerable things. And so it says in verse number 21, for three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. And these two words in there, the word disquieted and then cannot bear. And that's where we get the four intolerable things. The word disquieted, it means made uneasy or restless, disturbed, are harassed, sort of like the state of the world is in right now, always, continually, in a state of confusion and uproar and conflict, and then that cannot bear. So disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. And beginning in verse 22, it begins the list of four things. And the first one, this is things that are uneasy, restless, disturbing, harassing. So number one, for a servant when he reigneth. So a servant when he reigneth. And I'm going to give some examples from the Bible of a servant when he reigneth. And number one, there is Jeroboam. And if you know anything about Jeroboam, King Jeroboam in the Old Testament, he is the first king of Israel after the kingdom split. And so David and Solomon, they reigned over a united kingdom. And Solomon, he got a little too big for his britches. And, you know, the leaders, they came, they said, we want to serve you, but are you going to be hard on us? And he went and he got the advice of the old men and the young men. Well, he took the advice of the young men. He said, my little finger's going to be thicker than my father's loins. Well, that caused a split in the kingdom. And the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, they became Israel. And the two southern tribes, they became Judah. And Israel went into captivity first, and Israel was the most wicked. And the way to remember that's just the north and the south. The north is wicked, and the south was good. So I don't know if I lived up north how I would explain that, but that'll work for us. But that's the way it was in the Bible. Israel, the northern kingdoms, they're far worse. They had the most wicked kings. The southern Judah had the best kings. They lasted the longest. And Jeroboam, he was the first king over the northern tribes, over Israel. And if you know anything about Jeroboam, his name, when you read his name throughout the Old Testament, most of the time when you read his name, it's associated with this phrase, Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. Which made Israel to sin. And he was instrumental in bringing idol worship into the northern kingdom. And made a calf, and they worshiped. And so he got them started in that. And they continued on in this idol worship. So that's why his name is always associated with Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. And the first mention of Jeroboam's name in the Bible is in 1 Kings chapter 11 in verse 26. It said, and Jeroboam the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zeredah, Solomon's servant. Jeroboam was actually a servant that took the place of a king. And his whole, what he is known for is just how much trouble he caused. Because he caused them to get started in idol worship. But he was a servant. And so it says here, a servant when he reigneth. When a servant reigns, it's nothing but trouble. So you have Jeroboam in the Bible. He was a servant whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman. Even he lifted up his hand against the king. Jeroboam, his name means the people will contend. That's a good last days revolutionary name for Jeroboam. That's what he's a picture of. A type of. So you have Jeroboam. He is a good example of a servant when he reigneth. And here's one. If you go all the way back into the book of Genesis, you've got Ham. Noah had three sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham, and his, actually it was his grandson Canaan, in Genesis chapter number 9, they do something that is so wicked to Noah. Now Noah, he sinned. He made a vineyard. He made wine. He got drunk. Well, it's a shame to have to say that about Noah, but that's the truth. And that's one reason, that one thing that makes the Bible different from all the other religious books. Some people just put the Bible as religion, but the Bible tells the good and the bad. And so, this happened in Noah's life. Well, he's passed out in his tent. He's asleep in his tent. We'll not go over there and read it, but Ham and Canaan did something to Noah. And it so upset Noah, the Bible says, when he awoke, he knew what they had done unto him. And he was naked in there. They'd done something. Everything I've read says it was a homosexual act. They'd done something to Noah. And so that so infuriated Noah that when he woke up, he placed a curse on Canaan. It's in Genesis chapter 9, verse 25. It said, and he said, cursed be Canaan. What did he say about him? A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So Noah placed a curse on the descendants of Ham, especially Canaan, and he said he will always be a servant of servants. And I'm going to give you something, and I know a lot of people, if they heard me say this, they would think I'm being racist, but I'm not being racist. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. And just look and study it out for yourself. But if you study about the descendants of Ham and Canaan, one, Nimrod is in that line. And Nimrod, he was the one over the Tower of Babel, and he was a mighty hunter against the Lord. And Nimrod was a tyrant. He was a wicked person. He's an evil person. And so he caused a lot of trouble and uneasiness and problems in his life. Well, a servant, when he reigneth, that's what it causes. It causes trouble. And if you study further about their descendants, the descendants of Canaan, they went into what is modern day Western Africa. And they even named that land when they got it down there. They named it the land of Ethiopia. And so you've got Ethiopia. If you look at a map, of course, all that land, and our map doesn't show it, but Ethiopia would be beyond Egypt and south of it. And so Ethiopia, that's where they went to. But you've got Egypt, you've got Libya, you've got Ethiopia is still a country. It's still there on the map. You've got Chad, Nigeria, Somalia. You've got Kenya. It's all in that part of the world. And if you just study world history, some of the most evil, wicked dictators that's ever been in world history come from that part of the world. Violent people, murderous people. Not all, but a lot of them, a lot of history of bloodshed and problems from Nimrod on down. Mr. Obama's father was born in Kenya, which is a neighboring land to Ethiopia. And I was reading about it, and I read... Obama's got a book about his father. I read that book, and that's by him. So, but his dad, Mr. Obama's dad from Kenya, he was a revolutionary. And I seen a documentary about him. Said he constantly was stirring up and causing problems in that area. So. You just study world history and you see who comes from where. You know, man can say, well, we would never say there's anything to that because people would say we were being racist. But if God in His Word said that Canaan and his descendants would be a servant of servants, man can say, well, we would never say that. But if God never said no different, then you're still going to have trouble when you have a servant that begins to reign. And so, I know that make us say, well, I mean, you wouldn't hear that in school, would you? And I'm not being mean in saying it, but I do believe the Bible's the Word of God. Amen. And I believe that when we... go against the principles of the Bible, well, we're gonna get what the Bible says. So, a servant when he reigneth. And I said that about Obama. And I'm not being mean. I wish he was the best president we ever had. But truth is, we have never had more trouble than we've got right now. Uproar, turmoil, division in the country. Problems. Well, how come? Well, maybe because of what verse 22 says. So a servant when he reigneth. Lucifer, who became Satan, is a servant. Lucifer. And he fell from heaven. And now he's Satan. And boy, you talk about the trouble he's brought. So, a lot of examples we could take from the Bible of a servant when he reigneth. And then it says this, it says, and a fool when he is filled with meat. And there are lots of foolish people in the Bible we could talk about. There's Nabal, Abigail's husband, and his name means dolt, D-O-L-T. And that makes you wonder what his mama was thinking when she named him that. But Nabal means a dolt, and a dolt, it means, from a word that means stupid, wicked, or foolish. And you read about Nabal over there. Now, Nabal, he was a foolish person. And David sent for provision, and he cursed at David. And it said over there that he was such a son of Belial that a man could not even speak to him. So that's the kind of person he was, a fool when he is filled with meat. And he just railed on David. And I guess David would have, or Dave, if you read over there, David would have put him to death, but Abigail interceded on his behalf. David didn't kill Nabal, but the Lord smote him, and he died. And that's interesting. Well, he's a foolish person in the Bible. You can be around somebody like that, and all you're going to have is trouble. You'll have trouble when you shouldn't have no trouble. So he shouldn't have had no trouble because David had been being good to him and good to his men. And so they shouldn't have had any trouble. But when you've got a foolish person, you're going to have trouble where you shouldn't even be having any trouble. And that's how Nabal was. But it says there, and a fool when he is filled with meat. And there's a lot of examples in the Bible. King Ben-Hadad, he was the king of the Syrians. He got his army slaughtered. And the reason, 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 12, he made decisions, it says over there, when he was drinking. And they were having a big feast over there. And when they should have been planning and at war, they were having a feast. And so Ben-Hadad got his army killed over that. And in Esther chapter number 1, Ahasuerus, you read in there the problems that King Ahasuerus and Queen Vashti, they had because the Bible says that he made a feast. And they were having a big party, and they were no doubt doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And the king got full of himself, and he demanded Queen Vashti come, and she refused to do it. And I think that speaks well about her, but look at the trouble. Look at the trouble over that. Daniel chapter 5 and King Belshazzar, verse number 1, said he made a great feast and they were eating and drinking and praising the gods of gold and silver. And that's the chapter that the Lord sent the hand and he wrote upon the wall, said, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." So he lost the kingdom over that. And so all this is a good picture. You got all these kings from all these different countries. That's a good picture of the United Nations and all of their waste and all of the fraud and all of the foolishness that goes on. And there's just, it's the United Nations has never united anything. Trouble, trouble, trouble. So, and I do believe all this applies prophetically. Verse number 23, it said, "For an odious woman when she is married." The word odious, it means a hateful, deserving hatred. And of course, you couldn't say anything about that without talking about Jezebel in the Bible and what kind of woman she was. Different women in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 4, she brings shame. I'm quickly going through some of these things. Proverbs 21, verse number 9, talks about a brawling woman. Chapter 21, verse 19, talks about a contentious and an angry woman. So we've got a Jezebel type woman here. And then, in verse number 23, it says, "And an handmaid that is heir to her mistress. And we can talk about Hagar in the Bible. And I mentioned that last night a little bit, but you've got Abraham, Sarah. God promised they would have a child. They got impatient. Of course, Hagar has Ishmael, and there's been nothing but trouble ever since. You got two nations warring for centuries and centuries. And so you've got the handmaid of Sarah there in verse number 23. And so you got four things, and here's what this is a picture of. If we had time, we could go more into depth about these four things. But the servant is a picture of Satan. And the fool, when he is filled with meat, is a picture of the Antichrist. The odious woman is a picture of the mother of harlots. Revelation 17 and verse 5, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. And then the handmaid that is heir to her mistress, she's a picture of all the offspring. See, in Revelation 17, that mystery Babylon, that's the mother of harlots. There's all kinds of offspring from that, all kinds of false religion in the world. And so you've got those four things. Those four things disquiet the whole earth. Where's all this trouble, turmoil, politically? Those four things. So we're talking about four things that verse 21, for three things the earth is disquieted. That's what the Bible says. The earth is disquieted. And for four things which it cannot bear. And so that's interesting. And actually, I just noticed that. That it said the earth is disquieted. But then we come on verses 24 through 28. There are four wise things. Now the four wise things are in contrast to the four intolerable things. And here's the thing about the Lord. The Lord never leaves himself without a witness. And so Satan's got his people, his ministers in the world. Well, God's always got a remnant. And that's what we find here in these four wise things. The four wise things are a picture of God's people. And verse number 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. So that's how God's people ought to be. And there's four things there. Verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. I said something about this the other night. But the ants, well, they prepare. God's people ought to be prepared, and we ought to prepare. I heard somebody in the fellowship, Paul, talking about doomsday preppers. I don't know who it was. I just heard different conversations. But you know, the Bible is full of what our society would call preppers. Noah was a doomsday prepper, wasn't he? He got ready. God said, I'm going to send the flood, and he believed. And he prepared. He prepared an ark. And he put food, and he put the animals, and God told him to prepare. And so we ought to have enough wisdom that we would see things just might not always be like they are. We might ought to be like the ants. We might ought to prepare. Our grandparents believed in being prepared. And instead of running to Walmart, they went to the cellar. And instead of going to the grocery store all the time, they went to the garden, and they, you know, they prepared. And so God's people, we ought to have enough wisdom that we would be a prepared people. And, well, there's just a lot of lessons about the ants we could look at, but we don't have time. But they're prepared. Well, verse 26, the conies, and a conie's a rabbit. A rabbit that lives in the rocks. That's what a conie is. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. Psalms 104, verse 18 said, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. So the answer prepared, the conies are protected. They are protected by the rock. That's God's people. We've got a rock. The rock's the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a feeble folk. We're not much, but we got a big God that's going to protect his, that has protected and will protect his people. And so that's what the conies, they are a protected folk. Verse 27, it said, the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. Now, they have no king, but they are partners. So the ants are prepared, and the conies are protected, and the locusts are partners. They all, when they all go together. Boy, wouldn't that be good as God's people if we could, what we could do together. And, of course, we know that's not always the way it is, but surely in a church, God's people ought to be partnered together. They ought to work together, go together, move together. And I praise the Lord for Bible school. I mean, it's good for us to do that. It's good for people to come and work and do and it helps us learn to work together. So the locusts are partners. And then there's the spiders. Verse number 28. Or the spider. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Well, the spider, the Bible says, is in king's palaces. A spider is placed, we might say. The spider is little and loathsome, but you can go anywhere and find a spider. You can go in the Queen's Castle in England and find there's a spider in there. And so I think that's a good picture. You know, sometimes as God's people, you need some help somewhere that you don't expect to find any help. And you'll find that God has put a little spider in there. Have you ever went somewhere and you didn't know a soul and you said, God, I need some help. I need somebody. I need a Christian to talk to. And I don't think there's no Christians around here. But you'll find out that who pulled you over was Brother Jason. And he's a good feller. And you talk to him a little bit and find out why. He's a Christian. He just might have mercy. Let me go. Or you might need to go up to the courthouse. And you say, boy, I need some help. I need to talk to somebody that will just help me, be a blessing to me. And you'll find one of God's people come along and help you. You'll say, boy, thank you, Lord, for putting them there. You know, even when Jezebel was painting her head and fixing her hair and everything, there was a couple of eunuchs up there that was on God's side. And they threw her out. What a blessing. And Jehu came up and he says, any on the Lord's side? And the Bible said one or two eunuchs stuck their head out. He said, we are. He said, throw her down. That's enough of that. And so the spider is in king's palaces. And I like that the last one is in reference to being in the king's palace. All right, that's a picture of God's people. The first three, the ant, the coney, the locust, they have no leader, but they've got the good sense to stay together. And boy, God's people in these last days, we need to stay together because we need each other. And like the ants, the conies, the locusts, we need one another. All right, verse 29 through 31, there's four stately things, and this is what we've been coming down to. We see the last generation. We see the the Antichrist, verses 21 through 23. We see there's all kinds of problems in this last generation, but what we've been coming down to, four stately things, and this is the message of Proverbs chapter number 30, but in spite of all these things, the king is coming. The king is coming. And so in verse number 29, there be three things which go well. And I've got that underlined. Yea, four are comely. That means when they're coming, they look good. Boy, don't this look good. In spite of all these problems and all these trials and this ugly generation, this really looks good. Because this is talking about the Lord coming. And so the first thing that's mentioned here in verse number 30, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. And so, of course, that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 5 and 5 says, "Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book." Boy, I love to read that over there. They sent out through heaven. Who's worthy to open the book? Nobody. Nobody's worthy. But the Lord Jesus Christ stood up. He's worthy. He hath prevailed. And the lion, where does that come from anyway, that the lion is the king of the beasts? Well, it comes from the Bible. It's what the Bible says. The lion is at the head of the animal kingdom, and the eagle is the head of the bird kingdom. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the lion. The king is coming. He's the king of the beasts. And we know the Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion, walketh about whom, seeking whom he may devour. Well, yeah, there are two lions, but only one of them is going to come out on top, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to defeat Satan. So praise the Lord for that. There's a lion which is strongest among beasts. The lion is no coward in the fight. He turneth not away for any. And in verse number 31, it says, a greyhound, that's all it says. And that is talking about these big racing dogs that probably that's how most of us, when you think of a greyhound, that's what you would think of. But it is the only breed of dog that's mentioned in the Bible, a greyhound. It is a domesticated animal. I did some research on this. It's known for its strength, its speed, its agility, its great heart. It's the only breed of dog mentioned in the Bible. It's the fastest dog in the world. It can run over 40 miles an hour. It's one of the oldest breeds of dog in the world. And the remains of greyhounds have been found in the tombs of the pharaohs and paintings upon walls are paintings of greyhounds, and it was a favorite dog of royalty. So very, very well could have been that Solomon, can't you see him having a big old greyhound there in the palace or in his house? Some of these other kings, it's one of the oldest breeds of dogs in the world. They were brought to England before 900 A.D., they were used for hunting and racing, and they're very sweet dogs, very elegant, brave, loyal, and intelligent. And so that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's whatever he's likened to, he's at the head. He's at the top. So a lion, an eagle, a greyhound. Verse number 31, a greyhound and he-goat also. The he-goat, that's a buck ram. And that's the leader of the flock. And the ram would fight for the flock and fight against man and fight against beast. And a lot could be said about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can talk about Abraham taking Isaac up on the mountain and a ram is caught in a thicket. And so a lot of, and the rams were used in the sacrifices, but this is a type of the Lord Jesus not being sacrificed, but coming in power. This is what this is a picture of, the He-Goat, the power of the He-Goat and the prevalence of it. And so the Lord Jesus coming victorious. A He-Goat also, and then the last one, a king against whom there is no rising up. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming. Now, we've been looking at this generation, and they are a rebellious generation. And they are a generation that will rise up and revolt. But the king is coming, and he's going to put down all revolt. It's not always going to be like it is now. We're living in days, from studying the Bible, what we can expect to see in days coming, more revolution, more insurrection, more governments falling. Turkey right now is just in an uproar, like Egypt was just a few years ago. And it's over this Muslim, this radical Islam coming in. And that some of those people, they do not want that. And they are just, I turned on the news yesterday and just the streets on fire. And this world is in a mess. Amen. And if you didn't watch the news or know what was going on, you might say, well, I don't know. I don't know if it is. But if you know anything about it, I read news all around the world every day. That what is going on in the world is not just as it always is. It's in an uproar. And so a king against whom there is no rising up. We're going to see revolutions, persecutions, all of these things. But the king is coming and he's going to put all that down. Amen. He's going to put all that down. And so that's what we've been getting to in chapter number 30 is the king is coming. A lion which is strong as a mutt among beasts and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, only time that's mentioned in the Bible. And he goat also and a king against whom there is no rising up. So that's the gist, that's the main message of chapter number 30, but there's still two verses left. And verse number 32, this verse, I believe, is for all the people that would hear this message, and just like people are, they'll say, I don't believe that. You know, there'll be people that will listen to the lessons that we'll never see or know of. I don't think I've told this in church yet, but Brother James was telling me on our website that one of the largest, biggest visitors that has downloaded, I think he told me it would probably be equivalent to about 2 years of messages, is in the nation of Israel. That's interesting to me. So these people listen, and these other, Japan and Canada and here in America. So there's a lot of people listens. But there will be people that will listen locally and other places and now say, I don't believe that. That's crazy. That ain't what the Bible means. You don't interpret that. And people say, I don't believe that. That's not what that means. Well, here's a message for them. It said in verse number 32, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. You know what? One of these days it's going to be too late.
Amen.
And all this crowd that says, I don't believe that, that's not what that means. See, now, today's a day of opportunity. And so the Word of God says, coming down, Agur's closing out his message. He says, you may not believe it. If you've done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. You better watch what you say. You might find out these things are true, too. So, he's coming down to closing. And there's a warning. Verse number 32 is a warning. Verse number 33, he goes on, and when you see the word surely in the Bible, that's a good word to underline. Surely, he said. He said, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. And what that's saying is you do reap what you sow. And there's three things that are mentioned there in verse number 33 that if you do one thing, you will get this thing. If you do this, you're going to get this. So, surely, the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. You churn milk, you're going to get butter. That's one thing. Secondly, he says, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So you wring somebody's nose, well, they're going to get a nosebleed. And then he said, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. You force wrath upon somebody, it's going to bring forth strife. There's going to be fighting. And I noticed, I learned something today I did not know before, but I was studying. And in the Hebrew language, it uses the same word three times. The word for churning, and the word for wringing, and the word for forcing is all the same word. And it means, the word means pressure, or to oppress. And like we were just talking about a minute ago, the last days, these last days that we're living in, there's going to be more pressure than there's ever been before. There's going to be more oppression, and there's going to be more controversy, and there's going to be more contention. And if we went over to Matthew chapter 24, wars and rumors of wars, there's going to be these things. It's not getting better. It's going to be more and more and more. But the King is coming. And that's the good news. That's the hope. Amen. And so I praise the Lord for that. I know I've told this before. A man, in regards to verse number 33, a man went on an airplane, sat down beside an old man sitting there reading his Bible. And that young fellow looked over at the old man. He said, oh, I've got a ride with you. He said, you going to read that Bible the whole time? He said, that Bible's not true. He said, if you can prove to me one verse in the Bible, I'll believe the whole thing. And that little old man, he closed his Bible up, and he reached over, and he got a hold of that guy's nose, and he just wrung it. And the guy screamed. This is a long time ago, or they'd have diverted the flight, but the guy screamed, and he pulls out his handkerchief. He said, you crazy old man, my nose is bleeding. What'd you do that for? And he turned over to Proverbs 30 and 33. He said, you said if I could prove one verse in the Bible to you, you'd believe it. The wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So if you ever have somebody that says, I don't believe the Bible, you tell them, I can prove to you it's right. And you just wring their nose good. Wouldn't that just go over so well? Maybe a long time ago.
You want them to be a little further along.
Yeah, make sure they're smaller than you are. Don't do that to a big person. You know I'm kidding. I heard that a long time ago, and I've never done it, but I've been tempted. All right. I appreciate your good attention, and I hope everybody's got something out of it this week. And let's remember our teachers in our prayers, and the children. Brother Jason's going to go up and do a little devotional here in a minute. So let's pray that God will speak to hearts and use this week that somebody might be saved. That's what Bible school is all about. It's telling the gospel of Christ. And so I just pray the Spirit of God work on hearts. Anybody got anything before we dismiss tonight?